At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back in, Eagles fans. A Monday morning after the NFL draft, joined now by Devin Jackson of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Devin, I want to give a shout out to you real quick. A great draft coverage all weekend long. I read all of your work and you covered some of these players phenomenally. I want to get right to you and get a question in. What'd you make of the Eagles draft? They got some good players. It seems like they really got some guys that could be starters even in day three. What'd you make of the draft, and what was your overall opinion of the players the Eagles added in the draft this year?
Yeah, I thought they got really good value, especially in their first two picks. When you think about where, you know, the players like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were projected to go, it was very surprising, but also not at the same time to see them kind of go after Cooper DeJean after getting Quinyon Mitchell. I would say not surprising the fact that, you know, they showed a lot of interest in him in the pre-draft process, and he made a lot of sense in what they're trying to do defensively, especially in the secondary, getting younger, getting a little bit more versatile in terms of where you can play in multiple positions, plus upgrading a position that really wasn't a strong suit for the Eagles defense last year. So to see them get both of those guys, I thought was very intriguing in terms of them, you know, going so long without getting a first round defensive back. And then, you know, double dipping in the draft that they do kind of break that long 22-year drought. So, especially in those first two picks, I thought they got tremendous value. Now, you get to kind of the later picks of the draft. You know, they were always going to go after an edge rusher. And you know, obviously went after Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, who is kind of going to be more of a developmental player. But I think you're going to see the best football from him in 2 to 3 years versus seeing him as an immediate contributor. Plus, you add in the fact that they added a first-round edge rusher last year, Nolan Smith, that they're expecting big things from this year. So, you know, I think that pick probably, you know, some people are kind of a little bit split on, but when you watch his film and see some of the explosiveness and some of the traits that he possesses, you get excited for what's to come in a few years from him versus what you could get immediately. Then you look at the day three picks. I thought they, you know, made some nice picks there. Anaya Smith, I thought, was a really good get in terms of getting a slot receiver that he's not going to be your, you know, take the top off the defense type of player, but he's a reliable possession receiver that can make some explosive plays in the short passing game. And they need more guys that can create those types of plays, especially in the short areas and being able to be called upon on third downs, because outside, obviously, of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, that third person was always consistent between Dallas Goedert or whoever was in as a third receiver. So that, I thought that made a lot of sense. Then you look at some of the offensive linemen additions. When you look at Trevor Keegan, he's a guy that, you know, has a lot of starting experience, really good player kind of in I would say, in a phone booth. Type of player where he's a really good blocker, like head on. He does a really nice job cutting off angles on linebackers and getting to the second level. Really stout in pass protection, can pass off stunts really well. So I think with him, you're getting a guy that can bring some more depth, especially in the interior of the offensive line, and the potential to play both guard spots. He played left guard in college, but I think he has the ability to play right guard as well. But that, I think that move also signaled that they feel like Tyler Steen may be able to take a step to being a starting right guard for the Eagles. Then the last few picks, you look at Johnny Wilson, Dylan McMahon, and then Will Shipley. I think those guys are all going to be a little bit more depth pieces, especially with Anaya Smith and Will Shipley. They're going to bring an added extra addition in the special teams game as well. As both of them have experience as returners, especially Anias, who is a really dynamic returner, in fact. But when you look at McMahon and Johnny Wilson, I think those two guys are a little bit of what can we get out of them when we bring them in? You know, Johnny Wilson is such a big receiver, but a guy that You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he's used. You know, some people think he should move to tight end. Some people think he should stick out receiver. It seems like the Eagles are at least going to give him a shot at receiver. But when you have a guy that size, him being able to break down, get in and out of routes can tends to be trouble. But he does a pretty good doing that. But it's about finishing the catch and finishing those contested catch situations that wasn't as good for him. But I think he's a guy that could maybe end up potentially on the practice squad for the Eagles and let him continue to develop as a receiver and maybe cross-train him as a tight end. And then McMahon, I think, kind of the same thing. I think he's probably going to end up being more of a practice squad player as a kind of developmental guy. He's a bit of short arms. He's really athletic. And I think that athleticism is really what stuck out in terms of him getting selected by the Eagles. Has some really good testing. His net testing numbers comparable to what Jason Kelce had coming out of college.
I joked about Dylan after he got on this conference call. Kelce was 191, Devin, as an athletic center coming out. I wouldn't count on that happening again, but that I don't know if that puts pressure on Dylan McMahon. Johnny Wilson, to your point, at least the Eagles and Howie confirmed that, Nick Sirianni both confirmed that they're going to start him at wide receiver at least and see what he can do there. And I don't know, Keegan, if it upgrades, but he has tremendous hair, which I'm jealous of. Tremendous hair. So that might upgrade his draft stock. I did want to talk about Hunt. And by the way, Howie added three future picks. We got to add that into the mix as well, a third, fourth, and fifth next year. So good haul. The only one I can even nitpick as far as evaluation, that type of thing, which is very important to Howie, is Jalix Hunt from the perspective of it's a premium pick, late third round, but still third round. And if you like the player, take the player. I get all that. But I see Peyton Wilson there. And I wanted to get your thoughts on him as a prospect. A lot of injury concerns. Somebody had red flags, but Pittsburgh took him. For people that don't know, I say all the time, Pittsburgh UPMC, that's one of the go-to sports orthopedic places in the entire country. Dr. James Bradley, Dr. Joe Maroon. If those guys clear him, that means something to me. And that's the team that took him, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your thoughts on Peyton Wilson? Because he could be a day one starter here, in my estimation, Devin.
Yeah, he can. You know, he's a guy that I really like during the draft process and really over the last couple of years. You know, a guy that's really instinctual, able to come downhill, fill those gaps, relentless player. You know, he's going to get in on every single play. He chased down some plays this past season as well, one particularly against Notre Dame. That could have been a touchdown that he chased down from across the field. He's the high impact, you know, high effort type of player that you want at the linebacker position, but also can drop into coverage, can get into passing lanes, had a couple of interceptions this past year as well, pass deflections. You know, they use him as a blitzer coming off the edge, dropped him back into deeper coverage. So he was used all over the place at NC State. And, you know, I know there are concerns, obviously, about the health. How many times he's been out of the season with injury, the amount of injuries he's dealt with as well. And then his short arms, he has like 31-inch arms that you can kind of shows up sometimes when he's trying to disengage against offensive linemen. But I think if you're asking him to be kind of a off-ball, weak side linebacker, I think it makes a lot of more sense than trying to use him as a true Mike linebacker. And let him kind of more of a free roamer, but also a guy that you can leave on third downs to cover as well, because he has that ability. So, you know, I understand, you know, why the Eagles decide not to draft him. I mean, the injury concerns, you have Nakobe Dean has dealt with an injury this past year and didn't really play at all as a rookie. You have a couple guys on one-year deals, Devin White included. So it's certainly a gamble to not take a linebacker within the first 2 days of the draft. But Peyton Wilson, he has a potential to be a really good player if he can stay on the field for the Steelers.
Yeah, and we'll see if he can. His injury history is extensive, but I do agree with Johnny Mack in terms of he could be a day one starter where you take Jalux, and I think you're certain he's not a day one starter, even if he does pan out in the future. Devin, you wrote Quinyon Mitchell. I want to go to our first round pick, the star of the draft for the Eagles, was a slam dunk pick. I want to hear your breakdown of the player, how he fits inside this defense, and how you think he'll be used not only in year one but beyond, and what type of player he can be in the NFL.
Yeah, slam dunk in terms of value. He's a guy that's supposed to go in the top 10, top 15 even, as a player that should have been the first defensive back off the board way earlier. But obviously we saw the run on offensive players being the first 14 picks of the draft, and that really kind of just changed everything, changed the way that we thought this draft was going to go. Even teams, I bet, the way that it changed as well. But when you look at Quinyon Mitchell, you see a guy that, you know, was 6'1", 195, really physical at the catch point, can mirror routes, can break down and come up and make tackles as well in the open field. And he played on the island at Toledo. You know, they didn't give him safety help. You know, they didn't rotate, you know, coverages towards him. Pretty much most of the time, although it was off man coverage, when he did play man coverage, he was able to hold his own. You know, he didn't give up a touchdown this past season, had 37 pass breakups over the last couple of seasons. So he's a guy that gets his hands on the football early and often, understands route spacing and patterns, ability to kind of recognize that and be able to make plays on the football. Then you take all that that skill set and traits to the Senior Bowl and do much of the same thing. You know, outside of a few reps in those one-on-one sessions at the Senior Bowl, he held his own. He was there step for step with the receivers, you know, turning around when the ball is in the air, being able to locate the football in the air and getting his hands on it. I mean, he's a guy that down the field in those situations, you can feel pretty confident about his ability to, you know, play defense without interfering the receiver. And I think that's such a huge trait to have, especially as a first round defensive back. So obviously you're the first DB off the board. He certainly deserves that. Tested like an athletic freak, you know, has good size, good athleticism, and I think he's going to be a really good player for the Eagles. And I think he can slot in into that opposite side of Darius Slay. You know, obviously some training camps battles have to happen. We'll see what happens with James Bradbury. But if you're taking a first-round corner, you're probably going to play him early, and Mitchell certainly is on the track to do so.
Yeah.
John, real quick, just a follow-up if I can. How much stock, Devin, do you put into the where Quinyon played in college? A lot of people talk about he played Toledo. He doesn't play great cornerbacks. Is there a acclimation period that's going to happen to acclimate to the level of talent and in the NFL compared to what he was playing versus in the MAC conference?
Yeah, I think at any level, you know, any level of football, even if it's the SEC or Big Ten football, there's a level of acclimation that's going to take place. But really, for defensive backs, it's not only how you can obviously play against NFL-level receivers, but having that short-term memory and be able to take some of the good with the bad, take those bad plays and put it behind you. And he seemed to be able to do that ability in a small sample size that you got at the Senior Bowl, where he may have lost a rep, but he came back up the next one, ready, confident, and went out and won the next rep. So really, it kind of becomes a game for defensive backs, especially where you can't focus too much on, you know, where they played at necessarily, although that is a factor, or, you know, the kind of the level of competition they're playing. You want to see, are they dominating, you know, and are they shutting people out? And he did that at the MAC level. And then he did the same thing at the Senior Bowl, although those Senior Bowl receivers outside like Ricky Purcell, most of them were taken on day two and day three of the draft. So even then, that's still not quite what he's going to see at, you know, the NFL level. But when you look at Toledo's 2022 game against Ohio State, when he went against Marvin Harrison Jr., Jackson Smith and Jigba and those receivers, he did a pretty good job, you know, sticking with Marvin. Although Marvin did score a touchdown, you know, over him, he was right there in the hip pocket. So I think those small sample sizes give you hope for what he can be at the NFL level.
And by the way, great spot for Quinion as well. He models his game after Slay, and that wasn't sort of hyperbole because he got drafted by the Eagles. He's been talking about that for a while. And Slay himself is sometimes veteran guys don't like to mentor young players, and Slay's the exact opposite because he always gives the vets that were in Detroit a ton of credit for helping him, and he likes to pay it forward. So I think it's a perfect sort of atmosphere for Quinion Mitchell here in Philadelphia. And that leads us to Cooper DeJean, Devin. Eagles had a first-round grade on him. They would have considered Cooper in the first round, probably would have traded back a little bit if it came to that, tried to work the board that way. But still, they went up and got him. Two things. Where did you, because he's such a versatile player, where do you project him best as? And can he play in the slot in a consistent basis? Because that would be the easiest path to playing time, if he can just play slot corner. And long term, what do you think his best spot is?
Yeah, so, you know, this one's a tough one because, you know, when I did envision Cooper DeJean getting taken by the Eagles, it was him being one of the only DBs that the Eagles took, you know, in the early rounds. But I think he can play slot. You know, I think, you know, there's some limited, you know, tape of him being able to do so. I do think overall, long-term, probably his best fit would probably be more of a nickel safety hybrid role where, you know, you kind of put him as more of a matchup player on third downs as opposed to him being a full-time nickel player, just because I think you can best maximize his abilities as a safety as well, and what he's able to do, kind of move him around. Vic Fangio likes to run those three safety sets at times. And I really think he's at his best when he's playing in kind of the off coverage and he's able to drive down the football or drive down on throws and be able to mirror receivers and take the football away. I think that's when he's at his best. So I do think there's a potential path for him to play nickel, and I think they're going to cross train him, you know, as a potential nickel, potential safety, really kind of get, you know, him that full view, that full, you know, skill set to understand obviously what the Vic Fangio defense is going to be asking of him, but also the ability to play multiple spots. They picked him to play multiple spots, and I think they'll cross train him as such. But I think he's going to be more of a situational player versus an every down nickel player, if that makes sense. In getting him in certain matchups where you can kind of take away those maybe tight ends or take away some of those bigger wide receivers that move to the slot. So I think it's going to be really a matchup thing with him versus, you know, a guy that you're just going to put in one role and expect him to play one role. Because I can envision a situation where on one play he's playing nickel and in the face of a tight end. Next play he's playing more of that deeper safety coverage and rotates out and plays a deeper zone versus playing up in the box. So I think he certainly has the ability to play nickel, but I could see him being used more in multiple different ways versus just sticking to one position in particular.
I'm going to go to day three, Devin. We talked about some of the value they got at day three. It's obviously a depth day. I don't think people go to day three and anticipate they're going to get starters or even players that could contribute in year one. But I thought they did a good job. And one name that sticks out to me and John talked about it a little bit yesterday, is Trevor Keegan, and because of obviously Jason Kelce left. Now it's slated that Tyler Steen will move up into the right guard. Is Trevor Keegan a guy that can challenge him for that, or will they stay with the veteran as the competition there? Or how do you think he bodes for the Eagles this year?
Yeah, I think right now I would say I feel pretty confident Keegan's probably going to be more of a depth guy at the current moment, just because when you take rookies in the fifth round, you know, the expectations aren't as high in terms of them getting a starting spot. Now, if he comes into camp and really crushes it, shows the ability to handle those different types of defensive linemen in terms of the faster, more athletic guys versus the bigger wants to bull rush you type of players, and he shows that ability to be able to handle them consistently, then maybe we could talk about him, you know, pushing steam for a starting spot. But I think it's all about acclimation early on. You know, in fifth round picks, you typically don't have those high expectations for them to compete for a starting job right away. They took some pretty good capital in Tyler Steen, and obviously they feel pretty confident in him being able to take that next step, that next jump to being a starter at right guard. But I also think they're not going to hand him the starting spot either. So I think Keegan is good in terms of being able to push Steen at that right guard position, just because he has the experience doing so. He's a natural guard, as opposed to Steen having to kind of be cross-trained as a guard and tackle. And then Keegan is a guy that makes a lot of sense in the run game. I think he brings a lot more, I would say, in the run game than Steen did coming out. I thought Steen was a little bit more of the pass protector type, more of the can do both at a pretty good level, where I think Keegan is suitable in pass protection, but I think his calling card is going to be playing in a phone booth and playing really well and working downhill in the run game. So I think Keegan is a guy that is going to be ultimately a depth player and probably a backup player early on in at least in this season. But if things really go well for him there in camp and he shows that ability to handle the speed of the game at the NFL level, I'll be surprised if he's pushing Steen seriously for a starting spot by the time we roll around at week one.
At @RealD_Jackson, make sure you follow Devin on X and Twitter. Does a tremendous job. Inquirer.com breaking down the draft. I see it's going to continue. If you want more Devin after the show, he's doing a Reddit AMA. Ask me anything. That's bold, Devin. God bless you.
Yeah,
so that's going to be at noon. Yeah, hopefully. Keep it clean, people. And I want to get in the weeds, though, with you a little bit, and that's the undrafted class. How we mentioned, this is the smallest undrafted class. We know of six guys so far. He said there were seven, but that may have changed after they signed Mekhi Becton. Couple draftable guys. I'm intrigued by Gabe Hall, most notably. Big, long defensive tackle. It's rare you see a 6'6" defensive tackle who's not, you know, Jordan Davis size. And he's kind of, if anything, undersized. And then the back from Georgia, Kendall Milton. I've always wanted to see a one-cut runner behind this offensive line. The Eagles are always looking for backs who can catch the football. And we all want Christian McCaffrey. But I think behind this offensive line, I would love to see a one-cut guy. Anybody else stand out? What do you think of those two players?
Yeah, so I'll start with Gabe Hall because, you know, I was a guy that I really liked what he did on the first couple of days of Senior Bowl practice. You know, kind of a guy that I would say is probably a bit of a tweener in the way that he could be used at the NFL level. I don't think he's quite heavy enough to be a consistent interior defensive lineman. Nor kind of the height kind of dissuades you from that as well, because he doesn't play with that natural leverage you look for interior defensive lineman. But I think Gabe is a guy that I thought probably could have been drafted and probably a draft and stash type of player. So I think he's a potential candidate for the practice squad and figuring out what to do with him, because I think there's certainly some intriguing athletic traits with him. Has the size, has the length, can, you know, has a good swim move and can really be disruptive on rundowns. And then, you know, as a pass rusher, I think he brings you a little bit of juice as well. So I can see him being kind of a potential hand in the dirt defensive end when it's all said and done, just because I think he's not going to, I would say, find a role probably in the interior defensive line necessarily with the Eagles. I think he has a better shot at kind of being more of a hand in the dirt defensive end and coming off the edge that way. So I think Gabe, from that perspective, you know, can do some nice things. And, you know, at the Senior Bowl, they had him playing both interior defensive lineman and as an edge rusher to kind of get teams an NFL look in what he could do in both those areas. Obviously, he, and I talked to him after the first day, he told me he was more comfortable at the three tech just because he was used to playing that, especially at Baylor. But I think there's some potential there at moving him as a defensive end. So I kind of like him as a potential practice squad candidate. And then Kendall Milton is, you know, big physical running back that, like you said, is a one cup runner, gets north and south. And, you know, the Eagles really haven't had that type of guy, you know, in a couple of years. Obviously, DeAndre Swift was a really good runner, but more of the guy that wants to get outside and make things happen in the open field. Kendall Milton is a north and south guy. He wants to run through you, you know, run through the line of scrimmage and play more of that power football type. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he looks in this Eagles scheme, especially in the preseason, assuming he gets that opportunity to do so. And I think, you know, with the kind of the lack of depth at running back, you know, maybe he's a guy that, you know, could end up being, you know, practice squad player that maybe you elevate later in the season if he can show kind of the command of the Eagles offense. So, you know, they drafted Will Shipley, but I think he's more of the third down receiving type back. But in terms of Kendall Milton, I think he's more of a guy that you want running the football on first and second down as opposed to going out and catching routes.
Running out of time here on Birds 365, but Devin, I want one last question for you. Anais Smith, is he wide receiver 3 come week one?
That's a tough one just because the rookies.
There's an opportunity.
There's certainly opportunity. Yeah. You know, when you look at Paris Campbell and Devontae Parker, who are also going to be competing for that wide receiver 3 spot, I would say I think there's a better chance that Anais is going to be a kind of sub-package player as opposed to a true wide receiver 3 early on. Because I think they definitely like his skill set and they want to use that skill set to their advantage. But I think he has to prove that he can be an every down player. You know, Texas A&M kind of used him all over the formation, play some running back, play some slot receiver. Kind of a guy that they kind of manufacture touches for. So I would hesitate.
Kyle Shanahan guy, not a Nick Sirianni guy.
Yeah. So I'll be hesitant to say he's the wide receiver 3 when it's all said and done at the start of the season. But I do think he's a guy that I could see continuing to build trust in the offense if he's able to come through on those third downs and running the correct routes and getting to the correct spots. It's just going to take some time, you know, for him to do so. So I temper day 3 expectations for player just because, you know, there's a reason that they're there, that they're and available that late, you know, but I like his skill set. I think he can develop into a really good player and the guy that they use all over the formation and try to win those small one-on-one situations where you can move him around. And he's shown the ability to run routes out of the backfield and shown the ability to run routes as a slot receiver. So I think there's a good chance he's a wide receiver 4 and kind of a sub package player as opposed to a wide receiver 3.
All right, Devin Jackson.
Tremendous job. Inquirer.com. Make sure you check Devin out and go ask him anything over at Reddit at noon. He's going to have a special chat. Does a phenomenal job covering the NFL draft. Well done, by the way.
Yeah, really good work, Devin. I read it all weekend. It was really tremendous work.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Devin. Thanks, man, for joining the show. We appreciate it. It was great getting you here to give your thoughts after the draft. And we look forward to talking to you again down the line.
All right. Thank you guys so much and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Devin. Have a good
one. Thanks, Devin.
There's Devin Jackson from the Inquirer. Really good work, Johnny Mac. Really good breakdown of some of the draft picks the Eagles got. And
yeah, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, he certainly does. And I love getting into the weeds about players, especially players that the Eagles just got. So we'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. It's a Monday edition after the NFL draft. Beautiful outside today, Johnny Mac. Absolutely beautiful.
It's getting hot. Today, finally, mid-80s, might even get to or 90.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Nice.
Good stuff. What's the the agenda for the week down at NovaCare? Do you have to go down there today? Or
no, nothing today. You never know. Who knows? They might have Mekhi Becton for us, but they haven't officially signed him. He's agreed to terms. He's got to pass his physical. We'll see when that happens. Rookie camp is later this week. Probably not official. Probably going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but not official yet. And you'll get to see a first look at all the new Eagles.
All right, we'll come back. We'll close out the show. We'll give some final thoughts on Monday after the NFL draft. And then we'll prepare for tomorrow on Bird 365 and get ready to break it all down on the week as it kind of settles in. Everybody's still a little bit high on the draft. And John, you're probably on some sort of a work high still where it feels like it's been nonstop. It's almost season-esque where it's a Sunday night game and you're working all day and into the night.
It's worse. It's like three consecutive Sunday nights.
Yeah, right. So a lot of work from Johnny Mac, a lot of good work from Johnny Mac, and we appreciate his contributions, as I'm sure everybody listening does as well. We'll come back in a minute, and we'll close out Monday's edition of Birds 365. Stay tuned.